Good
Morning, good morning, good morning. Test one, test two. Good morning. We're going to start the meeting. If we can have everyone take their seats. Audience, you're so far away today. Do we have a city attorney? We do. Brendan?
Come on down.
Come on, Brendan. Okay, good morning and welcome to the beautiful San Fernando Valley. This is the meeting of the Recreation and Parks Commissioners. Today is September 4th, 2025. This board meeting is being conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only, and each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Our first order of business is a call for the roll. Takesha, would you please call for the roll?
Will do, Madam President. President Cimarron.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you so much. Our next order of business is an approval of the motion, excuse me, approval of the minutes from the August 24th, 2025 meeting. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
May I have a second?
Second. No, the
We
second.
got you. Takesha, we have a motion and a second. Can you please conduct the vote?
We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from the November 6, 2025 meeting. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And Commissioner Lloyd joined the meeting.
Commissioner Lloyd, would you like to weigh in on the vote for approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Thank you. Is anyone from Councilmember Bob Blumenfeld's office with us yet? Okay, seeing none, we'll hold the opportunity if he or his staff arrives to take him out of order. But with that, I'll bring on Matthew Rednick to give the general manager's update.
Good morning, commissioners, members of the public and recreation and park staff. Matthew Rudnick, executive officer, sitting in for our general manager, Jimmy Kim, this morning. I'd like to give some highlights and updates to the board and to the public. Before I do so, I'd like to invite Tracy Goldberg, superintendent of the Valley region, to introduce staff here at Balboa Sports Complex.
Good morning, commissioners, rep staff, and members of the public. My name is Tracy, superintendent of the Valley region. But is this thing working this morning? It's my pleasure to welcome you here to Balboa Sports Center. As you arrived, you likely Oh, right. Got it. I never use a microphone. We want to welcome you here today to Balboa Sports Center. As you arrive, you likely notice the wide array of amenities we offer to the community.
Tracy, hold on a quick second, because I think my notes were wrong. And I didn't get up early. So it was the motion. We approved the motion. Yeah, hold on a quick second. We approved the motion for the minutes from the
November 6th.
the November 6th meeting. I inadvertently said the August meeting. So can we just let the record show that there was approval of the November 6th agenda items? And then I also misspoke. We're in Councilwoman Padilla's office, not in Bob Blumenfeld's office. So just make that correction. Thank you.
We're good. As you arrive, you'd likely notice the wide array of amenities we offer the community. The site is quite unique, featuring 16 tennis courts, 8 new pickleball courts, 4 ball diamonds, 2 full-size outdoor basketball courts, 16 soccer fields, 3 multi-purpose rooms, and a gymnasium. The site also features a children's playground structure that families use extensively throughout the year. And that is a project coming up actually for replacement of that and upgrade, which is exciting. The main gymnasium you're in right now serves many purposes beyond basketball and volleyball. The space transitions to host a variety of cultural, educational, and sports and fitness classes. The current class offerings include dance, gymnastics, various martial arts such as Tai Chi and karate, guitar lessons, and a large summer camp program that serves hundreds of local children. We are also very proud that the site offers a VIP basketball league, which is designed to meet the needs of youth with developmental and functional differences. This program provides a truly all-inclusive space for all participants. The staff, of course, have not forgotten about our senior population. They offer specialized and well-attended activities like senior line dancing, senior step classes, and the increasingly popular and inclusive sport of pickleball. I would now like to introduce the dedicated team responsible for both the programming and the upkeep of this exceptional facility. We have Adam Monick, who is our acting senior recreation director, back there. Brittany Manje is our recreation coordinator, Craig Edelman, our South Valley district supervisor, Juan A. Knott, principal rec supervisor, and we also have Paula Jaramillo, our acting principal grounds maintenance supervisor. I have to read it because I'll forget somebody. Joshua Martinez, acting park maintenance supervisor, Renee Martinez, park maintenance supervisor, Esmeralda Especia, senior gardener, Ronell Wilson, gardener caretaker, and Maria Villanueva, our SPA2. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you so much for coming all the way out here.
Thank you. I'm a San Fernando Valley resident, so this was my easiest commute. All right, thank you. All right, any questions for Tracy? Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. And can we give a round of applause to all the staff she introduced, please?
Can we also, for the record, note that Commissioner Tafari has joined us as well?
Thank you, Tracy. So I'm going to give some highlights and status updates for the board. The commission office has received various communications from constituents, and we have assigned appropriate staff for follow-up. We have a lot of good things happening throughout the park system. Please visit laparks.org for our special events and program information. Before I jump in, I do notice we're joined today by the new executive director of the LA Parks Foundation. Amber Martinez is in the back of the room. Amber, can you wave for us? I don't know if the board knows Amber, but I did want to introduce her as the new foundation director that we'll be working closely with.
Why don't we call Ms. Martinez up for the spot? And would you like to share a few words with us, Amber? I know it's your first week. Congratulations.
There we go. Good morning. Hi, Amber Martinez, brand new executive director of the LA Parks Foundation. As Commissioner President Renata Simrell said, I am a week in, just completed a week with the foundation last week, but thrilled to be in the role, thrilled to be serving the LA Parks Foundation, thrilled to be in partnership with the Rec and Parks Department, to be serving alongside in this public-private partnership role, to be bringing alongside private resources, to be working with our communities, to be bringing new development, bringing new resources, bringing new partnerships to our Rec and Parks Department in a time of need, when our park needs assessment is about to be released, in a time of amazing opportunity, when we are about to embark on amazing world stage events that are coming to our city. There's a lot of opportunity, a lot of need, and we're here for it. So looking forward to working alongside all of you and alongside all of you to bring all of these things to fruition. So thank you for the time and looking forward to working with all of you in the years to come. Thank you so much.
Likewise, it's going to be a great honor and treat to work with you, and you're going to bring tremendous resources to this partnership. So congratulations again.
Thank you so much, Amber. And I did want to note that Amber is not only professionally very well equipped to handle the job, but she is also a registered volunteer as a coach with the department. So I just wanted to note that. So thank you. I'm going to give a few kind of high level updates on some important items. I'm going to talk about some of the Olympic and Paralympic planning we're engaged in. I'm also going to give a brief update on Palisades Rec Center rebuild efforts and more to come to the board on that. I'm also going to give a brief update on the city's budget process and where we are headed into the fiscal year, the budget process for the next fiscal year, and then one other status update. So I'm going to start with a verbal update on the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games planning. As you may know, in 2017, the International Olympic Committee selected the City of LA to host the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games. The Los Angeles Organizing Committee for the Olympic and Paralympic Games, namely LA 28, a private not-for-profit corporation, is the entity responsible for planning and delivering the games. To formalize the partnership between LA 28, the city entered into a series of agreements, beginning with the 2017 host city contract and MOU. That framework outlined the city's role, financial safeguards, and the responsibilities of LA 28. That detailed games agreement was subsequently approved. A detailed games agreement was then approved in 2021 and executed later that month, establishing comprehensive terms governing the city's participation in the games. When the city initially pursued the award of the 2024 games that were awarded to Paris, that initial bid included several Department of Recreation and Parks owned and/or leased facilities. To be used as venues, including property in the Sepulveda Basin. As you may know, the Sepulveda Basin is leased to Rec and Parks by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers under a long-term lease for recreational purposes. Originally, that site or venue was proposed to host events such as shooting, dressage, the equestrian dressage event, and canoe kayak slalom. LA 28 has since updated their venue plan to reflect evolving operational needs. And so LA 28 now proposes to use the Sepulveda Basin to create a sports park featuring four complexes to host the following sports and disciplines, which include BMX freestyle, BMX racing, skateboarding, street skateboarding park, modern pentathlon, and three-on-three basketball. So Rec and Parks has been engaged in the development of a venue use agreement with LA 28, with the assistance of the city attorney and in coordination with the mayor's office of major events. That VUA will outline the terms and conditions for LA 28's use of the basin for these activities and will be subject to permitting approvals and other approvals by the Army Corps as it's their property under as a flood control basin. In addition, LA 28 has proposed using Expo Park for various activities. As you may know, they originally proposed using John C. Argue Swim Stadium for diving. The diving event was actually moved to the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center, but the pool will receive upgrades and be used for some of the preliminary timing events. And Expo building itself will be used as an ancillary building to support the opening ceremonies activities in the Coliseum. So we'll need to execute a venue use agreement for that facility as well. We'll be coming back to the board next year for that. And then lastly, LA 28 has proposed using Venice Beach to serve as a venue to host triathlon and the start of road cycling. So we'll be coming back to the board on a venue use agreement for Venice Beach and more information on that. So we have a lot of work to do on the venue use agreements, and we'll be coming back to the board with updates. The department is also coordinating with the city family on a good deal of planning for community activations during the games and leading up to the games, as well as potentially utilizing recreation and parks facilities for hospitality houses and training facilities. So we'll be providing regular updates to the board. We're very excited. The equivalency I've heard mentioned a few times is that the Olympic and Paralympic Games in 2028 is equivalent to seven Super Bowls a day for 30 days. So it's a very significant heavy lift. We're extremely excited to be part of the city's efforts to support the games, but also want to be eyes wide open about all of the costs and resources that will be needed. So we'll be headed into the budget process and give updates on that as well. That concludes that update on that planning. I'll pause if there are any questions, or I can go right into my next item.
Any questions?
You mentioned that Expo Park will be coming to the board in 2026. Are there any use agreements that we need to review before the end of this year?
It's possible that the venue use agreement for the basin will come before you before the end of the year. It depends on there's a good deal of work happening with our city's risk manager and LA 28 around indemnity and insurance and other provisions that will need to be worked out. But we're working with urgency to try to bring that VUA to the board. So it may happen before the end of the year or probably early next year. All right, I'll continue. So I also did want to give, at the request of the board, a quick verbal update on Palisades Park rebuild. As you're aware, Palisades Recreation Center suffered major damage during the January wildfires, specifically the larger gymnasium building, the tennis concession building, and the small maintenance building were destroyed and have since been demolished and removed as part of the debris removal process by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Other park assets were also damaged, such as trees, landscaping, lighting, and other infrastructure. After the fires, the city was approached by the nonprofit or foundation Steadfast LA and LA Strong Sports, a nonprofit led by JJ Redick, the coach of the LA Lakers. And those groups have proposed to rebuild elements of the park. The recreation center that has already been demolished and the existing small recreation center is proposed to be replaced by a new approximately 28,000 square foot gymnasium comprising two basketball courts and ancillary facilities, including offices for recreation staff and other classroom space. Improvements to outdoor park elements are also proposed, as well as the addition of a new soccer field and seating areas. So staff has been working closely with the donor on the proposal and with the Mayor's Office of Strategic Partnership to craft the terms and conditions of this proposed donation for board consideration. A large community meeting with public testimony was held on Thursday, October 7th at the Palisades Rec Center, with the mayor's office, council, district staff, RAP, and the donor, and many community members. Will be coming back to the board with recommendations related to the proposal at a future board meeting. But I did want to provide that update because there's a lot of work and discussion happening related to that item as well. And then lastly, I wanted to provide just a quick budget update. Our initial budget submission, our baseline budget submission, is due to the mayor's office and the CAO at the end of this week. That's typical part of the process is we submit that initial budget submission before the Thanksgiving break. That will kick off then a review by the mayor's office and the CAO. We will have hearings typically in February and March with the mayor's office, and then the mayor will submit her proposed budget to City Council on April 20th, per the charter. Then that budget as a whole will go to the City Council for their consideration and review and will need to be adopted by June 1st. I want to just be very transparent. It is looking like another challenging budget year. Fiscally, the city is experiencing downward pressure on the general fund. Just to highlight, this is the first year that Recreation Parks is self-sufficient as far as the funding we receive under the charter that's mandated to be appropriated to our fund, in addition to the self-generated revenue that we have. The challenge is that the cost of the workforce is growing at a faster rate than our charter appropriation is growing. So we've been asked, like many other departments, to submit a flat budget, meaning they do not want to see new requests. And if we're submitting a new request, we have to submit an offsetting reduction. So it is a challenging year. We're hoping there won't be significant reductions like we saw last fiscal year, but we'll be appraising the board of the process and any service impacts we project headed into the following fiscal year. So I did want to give that update, and we'll be giving regular updates as the process continues. That concludes the GM report, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Matthew?
I have a couple. On Palisades, will we have another community meeting of final design before it comes to the board? Or will it come to the board for final design and approval?
I'll need to find out. I don't know offhand if the plan is to go before the last meeting was with the Park Advisory Board and members of the public. I'm not sure offhand if it's coming back to a larger public meeting or to the board for final, but I can report back.
Are we still on track for January breaking ground?
Certainly, the timeline is very kind of truncated. The items that need to come to the board for approval would be the terms of some kind of donation agreement, a CEQA determination, and approval of the actual design. Not 100% construction documents, but the conceptual design. There is an effort to try to bring that to the board before the end of the year so that we can stay on track with the January groundbreaking time.
Are we trying to get a CEQA waiver?
So we are working with our environmental specialists and the city attorney CEQA folks to figure out the most appropriate approach for a CEQA determination, whether it be a statutory exemption or availing ourselves of the governor's executive order for the disaster.
I hope we do that. On budget, you mentioned we're sending flat. So what we are sending at the end of this week or next week, I can't remember what you said. Is it any different than our last year's budget?
It will be. So there will be.
Can you speak to some of the.
Sure, sure. There will be some obligatory increases again because the cost of the workforce goes up. So because of cost of living adjustments that are negotiated not by the department but by the city, our employees all get paid more. That increases the budget. So there will be requests for that. There are also some new and expanded facilities. For example, we project that next year, for example, the Sixth Street Bridge Park will open. We need resources to open that park and to maintain it. That is part of our new and expanded facilities request. There are some other smaller requests that will be made. There's an expansion in funding we need for brush clearance, other things like that. There aren't any major significant programmatic requests. Because simply if we make those requests, we have to cut somewhere else. We are looking at where we can make adjustments within our program areas so that we can kind of, as we think about the park needs assessment, how are we aligning to the highest need areas, the resources we do have. But for the budget from a funding perspective, it will be relatively flat.
Thank you.
Yep.
I do have a question. On the venue use agreements for the Olympics, you know, I'm just curious, and you don't have to answer this now, but I am curious as those come before us about our assessment as we do these agreements and as it sounds like, you know, there's some venue construction considerations and some development considerations for these agreements as the Olympics use our spaces. I'm just curious as our analysis to like our long-term needs as a department and a city and then how these use agreements lead toward, are we taking advantage? Are these leading towards our long-term needs? And how we're best maximizing these investments, right? So that, you know, as they build these things for their use, they're actually for our use as well. I'm just curious as our analysis on that and just how we're strategizing around that and just that's part of our thinking and the presentation as they come back to us.
Absolutely, Commissioner Bain. Very good question. And we are certainly taking a very hard look at how the games could benefit long-term. The facilities where we'll be hosting. It is important to note that the games are a no-build Olympics, meaning kind of more holistically, LA28 is looking at using pre-existing facilities for the most part. That being said, for example, in the basin or for Venice Beach, they don't have the facilities needed. So they'll be needing to build temporary facilities. We do see an opportunity for some permanent improvements that could be legacy improvements beyond, but we'll be providing that analysis kind of site by site. Each one has its own set of conditions for the Sepulveda Basin. There are a kind of broader and more specific permitting requirements because it is flood control basin and permitted and approved by the Army Corps. So we'll be providing kind of that analysis and opportunities for leave behinds, but also challenges related to those. And then certainly at the other proposed venues, we do know we will see benefits at John C. Argue Swim Stadium. There's been a council action basically approving improvements and expansion of the pool there that will support more events and more community use long-term there at the pool, and we're hoping to see some other things and improvements at Venice, but certainly we'll provide much more detail as the venue use agreements come before the board.
Thank you, and I guess we should be careful about the use of the term no build Olympics if we're actually building things, so just let's be a little careful about that as a department.
Fair.
Anything else? Great, thank you for the conversation. Thank you, Matthew. Our next order of business is general public comment. Takesha, can you conduct general public comment, please?
Will do, Madam President. I will bring up the first three constituents to come up to the podium. And if you have further comments, you can send those to our rep inbox at rep.commissioners@lacity.org. And Kathy Schaefer. Terry Saucier. And Donna Vacasino.
Now it's on. Thank you. I'm happy to be here in a park today that boasts all natural grass playing fields. This is a great example of safety and sustainability. I don't think I need to reiterate the risks of artificial turf, including its toxic substances and microplastics that contaminate our water, or the heat island effect, or that can lead to heat-related illnesses or even death, or that plastic grass is not impermeable, inhibiting biodiversity and aquifer recharge. And I don't need to remind you that installation and maintenance is completed, if it is completed according to manufacturer specifications, artificial turf would be a significant expense for Rec and Parks. My hopes are that the required reports will be completed quickly, that the RFP process will be fully transparent, that you utilize science-based research and independent consultants who can give you sound advice and unbiased information, and that you don't rely on information from artificial turf vendors who sometimes make false or misleading statements in order to make a sale. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to ask you to oppose the installation of artificial turf in Pacific Palisades Rec and Park Field, and instead recommend that Pali Park remain natural grass to protect the health and safety of the community, environment, and wildlife. For context, Pali Park is located on the coast next to Potrero Canyon and runs directly into the ocean. There are concerns about flooding Potrero Canyon. Plastic grass is classified as impermeable by the state and EPA, and therefore will increase toxic runoff and flooding. Artificial turf is a fossil fuel-based petrochemical plastic, contains multiple chemicals of concern, including PFAS and microplastics. A plastic field can shed 2,000 to 3,000 pounds of plastic grass blades per year per field, and 12 to 15% microplastics in our waterways are from artificial turf. The product being proposed in Pali Park has 16 times the plastic blades, therefore 16 times the microplastic blades that could be lost. Due to artificial turf's negative environmental impacts, the California Coastal Commission hasn't allowed artificial turf since 2023. When they told UC Santa Barbara they could not replace our natural grass on their 3-acre baseball field with artificial turf, stating it's not superior to natural grass and not sustainable. The question isn't whether Pali Park is located in the California Coastal Commission permit zone and would be allowed. The question is if you should install it, because the harmful environmental impacts will be the same. Additionally, RAP is in the process of awarding a bid to do an extensive study comparing artificial turf and natural grass, the impacts on people's health and environment, as well as costs. Please don't approve replacing Pali Park's natural grass with plastic before the studies have been completed and you can make informed decision. Follow LAUSD's lead. This week, they passed a resolution to study and phase out artificial turf, and they put five plastic fields on hold. Please listen to the thousands of residents and many organizations that oppose plastic grass in Pali Park and want to keep it naturally green to protect the health and safety of their community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Donna Vaccarino, president of the Pacific Palisades Historical Society. We are a 501c3 dedicated to teaching and saving historic buildings in Pacific Palisades and documenting the legacy. We were founded just 100 years ago, so we'd like to see the community's historic legacy continue. I'm here to speak today about saving the existing Pacific Palisades community building. The current proposed plan by Steadfast shows that building demolished. That is a 7,100 square foot community services building constructed in 1950 as the Pacific Palisades Playground Clubhouse. That name alone should tell you the importance of this building and its historic legacy of Pacific Palisades. The building is also historically significant. November 11th, I sent you all a letter, which I'd like to again submit to public record, requesting a public hearing on the historic significance of this building and its role in Pacific Palisades. The Park Advisory Board meeting that was held on October 30th was very incomplete and I believe out of conformance due to the way the president of that organization conducted the meeting. We would like to have a public session where we can present the historic significance of this building and the historic role that the community has engaged with this community since 1950. So we thank you and we hope we can have an open discussion about this building. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring up the next three. Randy Young. Sherelle Caneo. And Jeffrey Hartsaw.
My name is Randy Young. I've been working with Palisades Park since 1993. I was the editor of a planning document for Marvin Browdy on parks and playing fields in 1993. It was a community effort where we all worked, built our own document as a community. By the way, Parks had a wonderful guy by the name of Frank Catania, who was our guide through this. And it's a complex process to make a park. It's much about scale, and it's about appropriateness for the site. When you were about a year ago at Palisades Park having your meeting, you all had trouble getting parking. It is not an easy parking place. You have to plan carefully for that spot. If you make it too big, this is a regional park, as Mr. Catania told me. That's different than a neighborhood park. And Palisades Recreation is a gorgeously proportioned neighborhood park. Sometimes too much money is too much money. And it should be, we should not be too big. We should be also, what came out of our 1993 document was the city of Los Angeles got Proposition B. Marvin Browdy put that together for the city. And that's the way we should do planning for all of us. Thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Cheryl Cuneo. I started attending RAP meetings first virtually, then in person in December of 2022 because of a shutdown of the Griffith Park pony rides by a small group of extreme and extremely vocal activists. It was almost 2 years later in September of 2024 that Placeworks, a consulting firm hired by the city to study the situation, presented their results. As you'll recall, in a statistically valid survey, the animal rights activists represented only 6% of LA, while a full 70% of those surveyed favored bringing the pony rides back. At that September meeting, you asked Rec and Park to report back in a few months with ideas for moving forward. It's November of 2025. So it's been almost 3 years since a much-loved venue that 70% of Angelenos want back was shut down. Now, I'm not stupid, and I know that you guys aren't. I know it's easier to break something than to fix it. We're seeing that play out in the real time all over the country. I do believe that what was broken by that 6% needs to be built back better. It's past time for us to do that. Please honor the will of the people of Los Angeles and bring back the pony rides. Also, just pick a field someplace and do a cost analysis. Honestly, I think you'll find that natural grass is far superior. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak. I'd also like to give a shout out to the people at Van Isham and Ups Parks, which is my home park. And they've been wonderful to work with. I've been involved in youth soccer there since 19, anyway, 94. I'm on the neighborhood council, and I'm also on the park advisory board. That, of course, means nothing necessarily. Anyway, I just had a couple of comments that I appreciate the fact that it's a very challenging environment, and all of you in the city has a lot to do with budgeting, both operation and maintenance, as well as construction or capital. There are competing things like sustainability and demand for parks and all that kind of stuff. Speaking for NI Sherman Oaks, we are in the process, or maybe in the process, I can't get a real definition, of refurbishing the synthetic turf fields, as well as doing some other work there. And although I believe we should be aware of and be sensitive to whatever impact it has as far as sustainability and climate change, I also have, you know, 1,500 kids who play every week, so I'd like the fields to either be properly maintained or properly replaced and maintained, preferably with grass, but given the fact the infrastructure is there. There's also, somebody mentioned an additional recreation building, a new basketball building they were asking for, not asking for much. But there's a demand that isn't being met. And then quickly, as you all know, SB 79, which was a...
thank you for your time. Thank you.
Anyway, don't lose Quimby funds.
I'm going to bring up the last three, Kathy Schreiner, Sabrina Silver, and Cameron Flanagan.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Schreiner. I'm president of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, but I'm speaking here as an individual. And I wanted to comment on two things. First of all, with regard to artificial turf fields, you heard that LAUSD on Tuesday voted to do a study like similar to what Reckon Parks is doing on comparing artificial turf and grass fields. And then the board decided to put a pause on five high school fields that were in the process of being looked at to replace the artificial turf. So I would really like to encourage the same thing with Reckon Parks, since you have this study now that's going to be done, that you might make a pause on replacing any more artificial turfs until you've been able to get that report back. The second thing I wanted to talk about is goat grazing. I may have mentioned it before, but the Sepulveda Basin is just an ideal place to have goats used as part of brush management. And you may know there's been a lot of focus because of the fire problems on the brush management. So I understand there's some sort of a proposal in front of Reckon Parks to use goats for grazing and vegetation management. And I want to encourage, I know there's people have had concerns about that, but there are other jurisdictions that have used this very successfully, and it's very carefully controlled. And I think it would be a great opportunity to try this out here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sabrina Silver. I'm a member of the Los Angeles Equine Advisory Committee. I am speaking today mostly as an individual, with a short comment as a member of the committee. As an individual, I want to put forth my opinion that natural grass or natural vegetation is far superior to any artificial turf, that artificial turf has health and environmental dangers, and I believe should not be considered as appropriate. With regards to the pony rides, also as an individual, I think that there is a tremendous, tremendous benefit to both communities and animals having these pony rides and petting zoos. Animals' interactions encourage empathy, compassion, and respect in humans, especially when done properly. It increases confidence, mental and physical health. And for the animals, as long as they have a welfare appropriate condition, including correct nutrition, environment, behavioral interactions with animals and humans, health, and including also their subjective interpretation of their own experience, these are scientifically based markers that can be used. There's a couple of different methodologies by different people. and that ensure the welfare and well-being of animals as well as people. And I want to reiterate that 70% of Angelenos do want those pony rides back. And it's been a tremendous loss for all of the young children that haven't been able to experience it these past several years. Regarding my official capacity, I was chair of the ad hoc regarding the pony rides, and we did come to findings of what could be done in
Thank
order
you
to,
for your time. Thank you.
Which I'd like to submit to you, and I will later. Thank you.
Morning, commissioners. Just a few things. I sent over a rather lengthy letter with some attachments about just some recent updates, because I know President Simrell, I haven't seen you in a while, so welcome back. About conditions over at the Bridge Home Shelter. So please look at that letter. The contract with Weingart, I don't know where that stands, if there even is a contract. I just know that it feels like we still need exterior security outside the facility. And if Council District 4 thinks that the circle team, which is the crisis intervention response model, is outside the facility as security, they are getting ripped off if they have a contract with Circle, because Circle's never there. If I have someone outside who's unhoused and needs support, they rarely show up. And even if they do, as to their effectiveness, it's spotty. So at the December commission meeting, I am also asking if you could please agendize the South Griffith Park master plan, either in December or January at your convenience, just so we know where we stand with the consultant in terms of that project. I know the last we heard was that Council District 4 was creating a website in July for the project, but it would be great if the community had some insight as to where we stand with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you. Before we consider board reports, are there any members of the public who want to make public comment on specific board items?
Madam President, we didn't have any requests for board report public comment.
Okay, let's take up the board reports. I'd like to note that item 25204 is going to be continued. And then with my commissioner support, I'd like to take the following items on consent: 25200, 25201, 25202, 25203, and 25205. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
No move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, I have a motion and a second. Could you call for the vote?
Yes, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent: 25-200, 25-201, 25-202, 25-203, and 25-205. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Bain, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Simrell, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Do we have any neighborhood council comments?
I have not received any such requests, Madam President.
Okay. Are there any requests or comments from the commissioners on future agenda items within our jurisdiction?
Commissioner Bain here. I did notice in our communications this week a lot of concern around Spring Street Park, and did wonder if we can get some kind of update on Spring Street Park.
I'm sorry, say that again, Commissioner Bain.
And I did notice in our public communications records, we have a lot of inquiries around Spring Street Park. And I was wondering if we can get some updates around Spring Street Park to the board.
Yeah. Anything else?
So we expect to review the park's needs assessment at our next meeting. And so I just kind of, as a member of the steering committee, wanted to give an update to my fellow commissioners. The draft of the plan is currently available online, and there will be some tweaks in the next week or so before it comes to our desk. I think nothing in the document will surprise us. We are ranked 90th out of 100 in terms of our peer cities in our, you know, park facilities, park spending. A lot of the comments that we saw from the public during the public comment period after the initial draft came back, you know, kind of number one complaint and concerns was around facilities and maintenance. And nearly a third of those comments within facilities and maintenance were around our bathrooms, either a lack of bathrooms or lack of cleanliness within our bathrooms. Again, something that I know is not a surprise to our commissioners here. I think in terms of funding and funding needs in order to get where we want to be with our peer cities, it's a $15 billion kind of one-time capital cost, roughly $2.5 billion for deferred maintenance, and then the rest is for capital improvements, new construction, et cetera, et cetera. The recommendation is that we have an annual operating budget of around $650 million, which, as we know, is almost double of where we are now. I guess my request to staff, well, first, Kathy and your team have done an incredible job on the PNA. I'm very excited by it. But I think my request on, you know, our presentation of the PNA is less on process and necessarily the findings, and more about how are we going to use this document and plan as a department? Like, how are we going to actually use it to execute our future plans, especially if new funding resources aren't identified or secured? Any other questions for my commissioners?
No, just a thank you, Commissioner Lloyd. It's been quite a number of meetings and quite a amount of time, and so I just really appreciate you taking the lead on the steering committee and giving us an update. I'm sure we'll have lots of questions when the item is presented.
It'll be a fun one.
I have one more question. And lastly, I appreciate the public's continued interest in the pony rides. Checking with the team, I think we will be ready for a report back on that at the next meeting. But just wanted to put that out to the public and to the staff.
Thank you for that. Anything else? Any besides Commissioner Bain, any other report backs that the commissioner would like to see at the next meeting?
Well, I'd like to close our meeting with a note of gratitude to Commissioner Benny Tran. This will be Commissioner Tran's last meeting with the commissioner or with the commission. You know, just an incredible public servant, incredibly passionate about park and recreations. It's good to see that you will stay civically engaged in another capacity soon, but just know that we appreciate your contributions to the Recreation and Parks Commission, and you'll be missed. So thank you.
Thank you very much, President Renata. Thank you for it was everyone here. It's been an honor and pleasure to serve the board here. Like I said before, I think mentioned several times during my tenure here, I've forgotten how important Parks and Recs have played a role in my life. Where I had parents who worked day and night, and this was the only refuge I had, and it was very important to inform me of my participation in sports, but also build my character as a, I guess, weekend warrior athlete now. But it was a very important part of my life. So thank you very much. This is an incredible organization here that we're trying to serve such a huge population. We talk a lot about challenges, but it's an incredible service to the public and to a generation who I hope to build to be our future and a healthy future for our kids and also even everyone that's, you know, of every age. And it plays such an important role. And so it's hopefully continues its service. I think it's exciting with the LA 28 Olympics coming up and beyond. And really thank the staff. I mean, incredible staff. I know it's one of those things where it's a hard service to provide when people want this and that, but also you're powering what's currently available and you're trying your best to serve your best you can. And you put in all the hours from the top management all the way down to people with service or volunteers on the ground. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And please stay in touch. Thank you.
Any other additional parting words for Commissioner Tran? Okay, hearing none, our meeting is adjourned. The next meeting, regular meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners is scheduled to be held on Thursday,
December 4th, 2025, 9 a.m. at Valley Plaza Recreation Center, 12240 Archwood Street in North Hollywood. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.